You know that last time I spoke, which was about 3 weeks ago, I talked to you about the fact that I'd been provoked by the idea that people leave churches for all sorts of reasons. They never come along and say, I'm leaving your church because you're not pushing me hard enough. You're not helping me to be a disciple in every area of my life. And I've been thinking a bit about that. And so where I'm going today is basically a follow-up to that. Now, not this February, but the February before, I think it was, Hugh Osgood came to us. And he told us a story from the scripture, from Genesis 29, which is not one of those usual stories. And it's actually about when Jacob went off to try and find a wife. If you remember the story, you'll remember that he came to a place where there was a well and it had a stone over it. And what had happened is that Rachel, who was looking after the sheep, her father's sheep, came. It's quite a big theme actually in Ark, because it's one of those big romance stories. She was coming towards the watering place, and there were some of the other shepherds from the community there, and they got some of their sheep and were around. And as she came up, Jacob, who was a pushy guy, he really was a pushy guy, said to these others, he said, well, the sun's still high in the sky. It's not time to take the sheep away. Let's get them watered and get out again. And they said, that is not the way we do things round here. We leave the stone over the hole, and it was probably quite a small hole, to which you'd get buckets and you'd pour the water into other stones. We don't do that. We wait and we preserve the water, and then when everybody's together, everyone gets shares. And I believe that Genesis 29 says, and Jacob said unto them, blow that for a game of soldiers, and he rolled the stone away, right? So he got in there and he fed Rachel's sheep. Now, and then it said that he met Rachel and he kissed her, and we can have a private competition, and as long as it's not too rude, you can actually get speech and thought bubbles attached to all the different characters there, and decide what they're saying. I think probably the easiest one is to think exactly what Rachel was thinking at the time, which was something to do with A, he's been eating garlic, and B, watch where you put your hands, mate. There they were. They'd got... and that led to that fantastic story. Now, what Hugh took out of this for us, he said, you guys have committed yourself to working together with other people, and as a consequence of this, you've said, we've got to wait till everything's in place, and then things will happen. And of course, we've talked about that. The stuff we've got from South America about revival would fit in with that. And we've been sort of struggling with that and trying to work it through and keep on testing things and seeing where the connections are. But more than that, I think what it was pointing up was that there is a danger with being too patient. Sometimes there are times for pushing. And I want to put my hand up and say that I am in the mood for pushing at the moment. And I think, and this isn't a threat, this is a promise, that we're going to know a bit about some of these pushes before we get through to the end of the year. They're not going to be things which people are going to say, oh, I don't like this. They aren't going to be things that make us think. The first big push, I think, is this idea of getting involved with Love India, and Love India's the charity arm of Victory Churches of India, getting involved with them and what they're doing. Now, normally when we want to push on something, what we do is we stick it up in front of you and give people a chance to respond to it. With this one, there just wasn't the chance to do that. We knew we'd got some money in the bank. We don't like money in the bank over and beyond what we should be keeping as a sort of appropriate buffer for 3 months or so. In fact, the charity commissioners don't like you keeping that much money in the bank. But of course, we've only got just enough for 3 months, so we took some of that out. And so four grand's going to go to that. And so that's the first thing that we want to push into. The second thing, which we have sort of been discussing and thinking about, is this. I hope you can see the big lettering on that. That's the top 10 most read books in the world. Now, the reason that the Quran doesn't figure in there is they've actually looked at book sales. And the argument of the people who did this say, if you don't sell the book, it's less likely that people will read it. And when I was working at Bible Society, you had a policy about how much about selling Bibles, and everywhere around the world you try to sell Bibles. And so the idea is that you can get some scriptures for the price of a cup of tea, you can get a New Testament for the price of a meal with rice, and then you can buy a Bible for less than a day's work. That's the idea. And you can see there are double the amount of a Bible sold since whenever it was. And it does seem a bit of a shame that most of us don't do, I can give you the link to it if you want to follow that up, but most of us don't do that much Bible reading. You know, we don't get into the scriptures, we don't pray very much. And we had the pastoral group together just recently, and in discussion over the past couple of meetings, we feel that one of the things that we want to press in on is encouraging one another to find good ways of developing our personal devotion to God through prayer and through Bible reading. And the way we're going to do this is a perfectly ordinary way. We're going to set up a working group. In fact, we know two people are going to be on it. We've got two people who volunteered out of the pastoral group at two extremes. One is Dave Sandberg, who, as you know, is somebody who thinks very carefully, tends to write things down. Somebody at the other extreme is Rosie, who doesn't like reading at all. And there are one or two people who we know who are interested in this this subject, and they're going to come to... Have they already talked to you, Charlie, about being part of this working group? No? No, they're certainly going to come and talk to you. Yeah. They've got to get their backsides in gear, because we need this to happen soon. We're going to push on this. But we want to try and find the best ways possible of helping different people to come in and get involved with the scriptures. Now, what's happening is that, stepped back from this, you've got people like Marion and myself, who know all about different Bible resources. Marion used to work for Scripture Union, used to travel around schools helping kids to get into the Bible, so she's got a lot of stuff there. And there'd be other people who have got things that they know work for them. But what we're after is things that work for people like Rosie, who says that when she tries to read the Bible on her own, she finds it a dreadfully dry experience. Mind you, that's when she reads any book on her own, because she's got specific reading difficulties. And we know there are some people like that. There are some people who are idle as well, and some people are fixated on telly. So some of you will need audio or other things. And so personal devotion is an area that we want to push in on. So that's not a big surprise, is it? That's a sort of encouragement. But I want to go on to another area. Now, if you look at Sunday morning attendance this morning, you will know there are a load of people away. It's very rare that we don't have at least between 15 and 20 people missing from a meeting. So this morning, where are people? We know that, for instance, Roy is on holiday in Malta and is Phil visiting her mum and dad. We know that Tina hasn't got up yet. And that's not me ratting on her, that's her mother. I'm sure Alex is no, I'm not well, or just too shattered for words, yeah. But even, in fact, I wouldn't have been surprised, none of us would have been surprised, if Dane and Alex hadn't been here. And so you get, and of course, Juliaus can only be here part of the time, and you get those sort of numbers. we struggle with getting together on Sundays. And I was talking to Joe and Heidi. They've got plans to visit their sons once each month, each of them, so they will only ever be with us on two Sundays. You know, that's the way it works. Now, I think we have to work to make sure every Sunday we can be together, we're together, and that's another push, but that's a way back, because Sundays have always been important. Now, let me read you some bits of the Bible from this, just to make this point. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of every week. Okay, they didn't meet on the Sabbath. They chose to meet on the first day of every week. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. It's a bit like having something in the bank, so when an opportunity arises to start a school, you know, you could do it. So they used to put money to one side. They met on the first day of the week. Now, I'm sure that in an environment where you had slaves, you couldn't get everybody together. But it was true that the Lord's Day, as they came to call it, became really important. And at the start of the last book, verse 7 of, verse 8 from what I've written there, of Revelation, says this: I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are there ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Patmos was a penal community, and I think if you go there, have you been to Patmos? No. I think if you go there, you can still see the salt mines in which probably John had to work. And he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. So here's somebody who was isolated from the Christian community, we'd think, who on the Lord's day counted it special, which was the first day of the week. It really gave him an opportunity to touch God and be together with God, and he heard behind him a loud voice, and the rest is the book of Revelation. So, how do we get on? I'm going to have to whiz through the slides and come back, because I've gone and lost one. Yeah. I'll come back to the other one. The Christians at Ephesus met on the first day of the week. I love this story because it justifies lots of my bad habits. Right? On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Right? Now, if you don't know this particular story, it mentions about the fact there was a young guy called Eutychus. Now, Eutychus was a very frequent name among freed people who had been slaves. And you have to think that people who were slaves who were part of the Christian community may not have been able to get to meetings always anyway. They relied on their masters. But anyway, Eutychus probably had been working all day if it was just an evening meeting. But I like to think that Paul started early in the morning and was still going on his third session by about midnight. And actually, Luke is really rude at this point, because he says, and Paul went on and on. which is interesting as well. But Eutychus was sitting in the window. You know, there were lots of flats in Rome. Lots of, this was Ephesus, so there were probably flats in Ephesus as well. I think they were up on the third story. And these flats were built out of rubbish. And quite often they would collapse, leaving whole families dead. You know, it was, in fact, a bit like Greek building today, really. They were there, and there was no window, there might have been shutters, and he was sitting on the windowsill, fell into a deep sleep, fell out the window, three stories down, wallop, dead. Okay? And so they went down, prayed for him, got him back upstairs, and carried on preaching. Yes! So, you need to cut that bit out of the Bible, really, if it kept on talking until midnight. Anyway, Greg's not here today, but we were in Kenya on one occasion, and it had taken us forever to find this place, because it was that we'd gone to, because It was way out in the middle of nowhere, you know, sort of, it was the first track, the third track off the dirt road, go along there for 25 kilometres, you'll find another track by a tree and you turn right. And we ended up near Lake Victoria with all these in a place which was just grass huts. And we got there about 11 o'clock and then they fed us. And then at about 11:30, I was asked to preach to this small group. And you could see people dropping off all over the place, including our team. And I talked for about 20 minutes, which was all I could bear to do. Everybody looked so tired. They got the kids with them and everything. And afterwards, they explained and translated, "We thank our brother for his talk, although it was very short and we wished he had gone on much longer." I always try to remember that one. It comes in handy. Actually, that was the night that Greg had eaten things that he shouldn't and had to keep on going outside to probably the most primitive toilet I've ever seen after they'd been telling us about the presence of leopards in the area, which was fun for the rest of us anyway. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. So, if we can't make it, if we can't do Sundays, I think there's still a principle here. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging with one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, we need to spur one another towards love and good deeds. It looks as though that's connected with meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, that's connected with meetings as well. And they were looking towards the day when everything would be tied up in Jesus, the day of the second coming. So, if we can't do it on Sundays, what are we going to do? Here's just one more scripture, I think, which will help us. Okay. There it is. And this, I think, is probably the most important verse about meeting together. "Truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Now, you know that that's really quite a difficult verse in that first part, a couple of verses. I wanted to just make a passing comment on here. I was listening to John Coles, who leads New Wine, talking, and he was saying that we believe in the now and the not yet. And there's a real struggle in the scriptures, because there are bits of the scriptures which say the kingdom of God has come and it's now. And this is one of those places. Yeah? "If two of you shall agree on anything, it shall be done." But there are other places in the scriptures where it sort of indicates that it doesn't always happen like that. And if you find it frustrating when you're reading the Bible and there is stuff that makes you very optimistic and thinks this all should be happening now, then that's the way it should be, I think. Because the result of that is that even when it doesn't happen, we pray more, Lord, and why, Lord, and please do something, Lord. So, just wanted to mention that, because look at this last bit. We know this, don't we? "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And we believe Jesus is with us all the time. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So that's true. So there is a special sense that when we come together, not just when we come together to watch football, or when we come together to go shopping, or when we come together because our kids are having a party, but when we come together intentionally, i.e. in the name, there's a special sense that Jesus is there with us. Now, those are the things that I wanted to do to set up what is essentially a proposal, which we can think about a bit. I'm sorry the type's gone small here. It wasn't that small at 9:30 this morning, but then I fiddled with it. And I'm going to have to read it through to you, apart from those who've got really super eyesight. So here's the proposal. It's very simple. That what we want to do is to go back to from the autumn to small groups meeting twice a month. Can anybody read that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Small groups meeting twice a month plus eating. Okay. Now, we did used to meet twice a month. Actually, we used to meet every week, and people found that a bit much. Then we met twice a month, and people found that a bit much. So I think the idea of going back to meeting twice a month, people might find a bit much anyway, but let's talk about that as we go through. But plus eating together. The reason, it would be great, wouldn't it, if every time we met as small groups, we could eat. But because of the structure of Dayspring, where there are so many children in the church, unless you choose to have your meetings at 5:30 in the evenings, it's not going to be good to do eating, because by that time they've turned into monsters anyway, so you know they really need to be home and in bed. But if you've got a way of making that work, that's really good. Now, the focus is for the autumn, and this is where I come back to the Sundays thing, is that what we want to do is, in those two meetings, we want to focus on the Sunday teaching. So two times a month, what we're going to do is we're going to take the Sunday teaching and we're going to say, let's talk about this some more. Okay? In the small groups. We're going to make sure there are resources for catch up, because we've got at least two people who attend different groups who never come on a Sunday. Or at least one comes very rarely, and one I don't think I've ever seen. Who comes along to the group. So we've got to have some resources for that. And what we're planning to do at the moment, as well as getting the audio up, is that what we're going to do, and I guess the Sundays we do the follow-up on will most times be ones where I've talked, we will do a single A4 of bullet points on the talk, which actually will probably prove that I could have said it much more quickly if I do that. So, but I'm going to risk that one. And the other thing we'll do is to try, if we can, to do a short 10-minute summary of what was said on the Sunday morning as well, if people want the audio. But and if we can, we'll make the slides available so that at the start of the meeting, people can run that through. So the idea is that we're going to give attention to running through the talks. The second thing is that we want to focus on agreeing and praying. One of the things we struggle with at the moment is getting people out to prayer meetings. That is a fact. I don't think it shows us up in a very good light, but it is a problem. We're going to keep Kingdom Come in place. We're going to keep the team prayer in place. But as well as that, we're going to be asking Ian, who leads Kingdom Come, to up his game by going around and kicking people, encouraging them to get involved in praying, to ring people and find out what's happening in the small groups about prayer. So we're going to push and see what's happening in there, and we're going to see what happens. So if you've got what we'd like to do, and you know I'm being a bit silly when I say this, is we'd like to make the prayer table redundant. Because if you guys have got a need or an issue that occurs during the week, you take it to the small group and you get people to pray there. Okay? Next thing. We're also going to focus on finding out and joining in. Right? Because I feel as though if Andy says to me, where have you been looking for what God's doing during the week, then that's going to get me going. Right? And I think we need to get one another going on this. Some of you will be thinking, what's going to happen about the I groups? No reason why the I group shouldn't continue. I think I film could very well continue in the autumn, because it's a fun group, happens on Friday nights, no great effort, it happens on top. What we're saying is, this is not about what else you do, but this is about where we'd like you to give priority. And what was the other thing? And there may be people who feel it's time that they moved groups. Well, my suggestion is that think about this during the autumn, and if you want to move groups, we can sort this out when it comes to January. So, summarising what... just coming up to the end here, the proposal, small groups meet twice each month. We'd like to get as many people as possible involved as often as they can. right? Now, not everybody will be able to do it. Those of you who work late or have got particularly busy lives, that may not prove possible. But wherever it is, it would be really great if that happens. So that's what we're proposing. There's time for people to feedback on this. Now, understand that what I'm talking about here is not just what you get out of meetings. Okay? You know that praying and reading the Bible is not just about what you get out of it. It's about the discipline that's involved. Discipline is any activity within our power that we engage in to enable us to do what we cannot do by direct effort. Right? That sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? But a discipline is any activity within our power that we engage in to enable us to do what we cannot do by direct effort. I have started going back to the gym after 3-5 years of not going. I'm going to a gym that is well above my pay grade. It is an embarrassing amount of money, but we've agreed that I should go. Do I go to the gym because I want to go to the gym? No, I go to the gym because of these reasons. One, and the most important reason, God has got a load of stuff for me to do in the next 25 years, and I need to be fitter than I am now in order to do it properly. That is the most important reason. Components of that is, I take enough medication for my blood pressure anyway. I need to go to the gym. I also actually need to stop drinking so much coffee and to reduce animal fats, but that's another piece of the agenda. I'm finding that just in terms of lifting, when we go on holiday, my wife takes so much with her that I need to be much stronger. And at the moment, I'm targeting, I've told the trainers that I need a schedule which will allow me to lift my wife's heavy cases rather better without doing me a damage than I can do at the moment. Now, I do not like going to the gym. In fact, I think there's probably only one thing I like less than going to the gym. By the way, you're very hot, I am. Let's get a little air in. The only thing I like less than going to the gym, and Dave Sandberg would tell you this, is doing my expenses. So if I get through and I think the next thing to do is my expenses, I think, I know what, I'll go to the gym. But basically, most everything else I have to do gets priority. Is going to the gym important to me? Yes. Am I inclined to do it? No. And many of you will find that you get in from work, you have dinner, you get sorting out, putting the kids to bed, and you think, am I too tired to go to the group tonight? Yes will be the answer. But it's a spiritual discipline, because actually being together with a community of Christians will provide you with a context for change. Reading the Bible and praying in itself doesn't change you, but will change things around you that will make it possible to change. So when I go to the gym, the best way I can do is to think that for my birthday present, Wendy spent all this money in going to the gym. Very soon, she is going to raise the issue of how much money it costs if I don't go to the gym soon. So that will get me out sometimes. But then other things sort of transpire and I've got a good excuse for not going. Now, that is the way it is. But sometimes being together with God's people is a discipline, and we need to do it. It was even a discipline for those guys back in the book of Hebrews. You know, don't forsake getting together. Don't stop meeting together, as some of you are doing. Right? They were that close to having Jesus around. They were living in that environment where miracles were happening, where fantastic stuff was going on all over the place, and they were still saying, I want to watch telly tonight. Don't want to go to the meeting. Too tired. And you know as well as I do that whatever you do in terms of going out, you'll often feel better after going out and being with other people than you will sat in front of the telly. In fact, almost universally, that is true. And we all agree with it when we do it. It's just the effort that's the problem. Okay, so meetings are discipline. Have I got anything else to say? No, let's just go back. You saw all those bits. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And it is okay to keep talking till midnight and to go on and on. Probably more importantly, is that where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Have a think about what it means to gather in my name. I think we can come on Sunday morning and we can get into the meeting. How many of you would think that when we were singing, you worshipped this morning? Yeah? You have to think about it, don't you? Because unless you're there in the name of Jesus, unless you're there intentionally, it's possible to just sing. You know? I don't know how many of you engaged. I have to say that for me, very often, the bit which some people dismiss in the middle of the meeting is often the most important part of the meeting, because that's where we talk about the apostolic thrust of the church, you know, what we're called to do, what we're pushing out in. So we talk about cafe and tell that brilliant story, that fantastic story. Do you know, it's that story is pure gold. Standing there last week and listening to Chiquita say to David, how many people can you bring along to cafe, right? And then Rachel joined in with that as well and talked about the complications of having so many people who wanted to come along and just being one person. Now, we've got a plan for that, is that you guys need to produce disciples, other hosts, yeah? And we're going to help you do that. How we're going to help you, I don't know, because we don't know how to do it. I'm just getting round to inviting people. That's where I am. So those sections of the meeting can be really important if we actually see what God's doing. And if we, when we come into the meeting, if when we come into our groups, we say, Jesus is here. Jesus is here in a particular way because we're meeting together, then fantastic things can happen. So that's what's on. If it doesn't seem to work, if you've got a problem with it, feedback, let's know about it. But that's where we're planning to go. Moving the groups back to twice a week. If there's still life in the I groups, by all means meet in that sort of format as well. Twice a week, did I say? Twice a month. Don't forget about eating together. Sell teas, sell lunches. Food is always very, very important, which is why gym's a problem as well, isn't it? But then, there you go. I think that's probably as much as we need to do. I'll be posting the scripture verses I use so that people can refer to them. It's gone 12 o'clock.